Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, February 27th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy Oye Jr., and joining me is the force that is Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I love it. I love Kevin's enthusiasm.
Man.
I love it. That gets me jacked up.
Hyped up.
For the show ahead. Yeah, absolutely. It's a psych up.
We have you on a rare Thursday.
I couldn't come in yesterday, but Greg kindly rescheduled me for today, so yeah. It's Whitta Thursday.
Whitta Thursday, people get a treat.
Why not?
Of course.
It's all good.
Why not?
What's Kevin doing? He's messing with the cameras.
Kevin's over here fixing some things. I feel like we have a lot of bones to pick with Kevin this morning.
Yeah, we do. I got some things I need to say to Kevin.
We're starting a few minutes late this morning because Kevin and the printer had some issues.
We had some printer troubles, but to Kevin's credit, he came through.
He did fix it.
That's right. In the clutch.
Yep.
In the clutch.
Printer up and running again. Turns out it's not registering how much ink is in it anymore.
Oh, so
we just
like it's
have
broken.
To feel it out, yeah.
So we just got to estimate.
Yeah,
when we start
getting grab the little thing, shake, and be like, nah, this guy's empty.
Man, this Thursday morning feels like it should be Friday evening. Like, I feel like this has been the longest week ever.
Feel like it's been a long week?
Yeah.
It's funny, I've had other people say that to me as well, and I wonder if it's because last week was a short week.
Maybe. Like, there's something about this week that feels like it just keeps going.
Was last week a short week?
Yeah, because it was
President's
Day or something. We had Monday off.
Well, we were here every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I just feel like maybe there's, like, a lot more going on this week. I know I have a full day of recording stuff today.
Sure.
So I have that to look forward to. And yesterday, I feel like it kind of went long. But that was also because after work, I went to watch the My Hero Academia movie. There's, like, a new one that came out.
Okay.
And I like My Hero Academia. I'm not, like, the biggest My Hero Academia fan. And halfway through the movie, I was drowsy.
Bless, it's not your fault. You're a retired boy, man. You work hard.
Thank you, Kevin. I do work hard. I got
well,
halfway through the movie.
You mostly sit and play video games, but
I mean, yeah. But playing video games
I
is
mean,
work.
No, it's yeah, no.
It's hard work. Have you ever tried playing Bloodborne? That's work.
I can't do it. Fat fingers, you know.
But yeah, I got halfway through the movie and I was like, I know where this is going and I slept. that's kind of how my week's been.
So good movie then, huh?
It's good. For what I saw, that movie was great. If you're a My Hero Academia fan, you're really going to like that movie.
The point is, we're almost there. We're over the hump. Friday tomorrow.
Yeah. Today's Friday. What? No.
Today's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
That's it. You
Friday
know that.
Junior. That's what I was trying to think of.
Friday Junior?
Friday Junior. There's Fry-yay. Where people are like, yay, it's Friday, right? Friday.
Okay.
Today is Friday Junior.
I like that. Friday. That's the right attitude. I like that.
Today's stories include, somehow, even more coronavirus news, a new studio from Platinum, and more Dreams improvements, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong. Go into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can correct us, or you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Tomorrow, IGN is putting on a live stream in celebration of Black History Month, and I'm going to be a part of it, starting at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. Come hang out as I get to talk to other black folks in the games industry about their experiences breaking into games. It's happening from 1:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. over on IGN.com, and I'll be on it, periodically hanging out, playing games, interviewing folks, and more. I think it was Jonathan Dornbush who like emailed me a few weeks ago. It was him and Lucy O'Brien. They emailed me, and they're like, hey, do you want to come hang out? And I was like, sure. And a few days ago, they're like, hey, you're going to be interviewing people. And I was like, oh, sweet. Excitement. I get to like actually talk and have conversations and have a good old time.
That's great.
Yeah.
I like that they're doing that.
Oh yeah. No, I think it's always awesome whenever they have events like this. I know they did their Pride stream. I know throughout the year whenever occasions pop up where they can do live streams in order to like spotlight people who could use the spotlight or just, you know, celebrate diverse people. I know
that's really cool.
Like to do that. And
yeah.
So
good for IGN.
I'm really excited about that tomorrow. So if you want to come hang out again, 1:30 p.m. Pacific time over on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN probably also is going to be there. And then Gary, did you play, of course had to have played Ocarina of Time, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest games ever made.
As I've said before on the show, I'm not really a Zelda guy. I've never played like any Zelda game all the way through.
Okay.
But I've dabbled.
Now, how good are you at doing the Navi voice?
I don't know what that is. When you say Navi, I think of Avatar.
Well,
that's pretty much the same thing. They're a little smaller, but same thing.
It's not the same at all. Navi's like the fairy in Ocarina of Time. Hang out around.
They didn't have Navi in Breath of the Wild, so I don't know.
So what is the Navi voice? Can you do it?
It's like a high pitched. I've done it before.
Try it,
I don't like
it.
Doing
Give
it.
Give it a try.
Hey, listen. That's what it is.
That's pretty close. You nailed it.
Sounds like Mickey Mouse.
As some of you may know, Boss Baby Barrett Courtney spent most of the past year playing every major Zelda game, and because of your support on Patreon back in January, has been working on Zelda In Review, an in-review special where Barrett reviews every Zelda game he played, ranks each game, and rediscovers what makes The Legend of Zelda special. Zelda In Review comes out on the third anniversary of Breath of the Wild. That's March 3rd. That's Tuesday. As a YouTube premiere at 2 p.m. Pacific time on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Make sure to come watch as we premiere Zelda In Review and hang out in the chat as Barrett answers questions and talks to you even more about The Legend of Zelda. I'm very excited for that. Apparently, the video is really long.
I know that Barrett really threw himself into this project, yeah. Right? This was a big passion project for Barrett. He put a lot of work into it, yeah. A lot of hours.
I feel like people
and he's very proud of it.
People very much underestimate Barrett because, like, I mentioned this on a show before.
Have.
You of course, Kevin. You always
that's
have
not
a,
true.
An
come
underestimated
on, you
Barrett.
Know that.
Oh, I thought you were being serious.
No.
Oh, well, I mean, now that we're here, we might as well be honest, man. I've been watching you. I've been seeing how you've been underestimating Barrett. But, like, before Barrett started working here, right, like, I followed some of his work. Even before he was working at IGN, I followed some of his work doing, like, editing video essays. And he's really good at it.
I've always really enjoyed them.
Yeah, he's really good at it. And so I'm excited for this to happen because I feel like people are going to finally understand why they call Barrett the boss, baby. Emphasis on boss. The boss, baby. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, David Mintel, Mind Freak, Muhammad Muhammad, the Nanobiologist, Frank Furter, Shiraz Razak, Patrick Higgins, Travis Gajkowski, Drew Gardner, Dominic Shorter, Jenny Burnt, Joseph Soler, and Katie Gallagher. Today we're brought to you by the Besties and the Gaming Ride Home podcast, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be. The Roper Report.
Hey, before we jump in,
it's time for some news. We have six items today.
A baker's dozen.
Real quick, before we jump into the news, because I promised I would do this every week, I got to give you a quick weight update. Mm. I lost 2 more pounds. Currently,
oh, nice.
229.4. So overall, this is as of the scale this morning. As of today, I'm down 23.4 pounds.
Wow.
Since I started.
Congratulations.
So I'm about halfway to my goal weight.
Dude,
I'm looking at myself on the monitor right now.
You look
I think
great.
You can start to see it.
No, for sure.
I think
you look
I'm starting
great.
To look a little bit thinner.
Now,
what do you think, Kevin?
I think that's a yes from Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See it.
It's qualified.
See it.
It's not a very
turn
not a very enthusiastic
a
yes.
Now is this
what?
Turn sideways a little bit. I think it's more your body than anything. Stand up.
Let me see the no, we can twirl around for you. I'm not going to
well,
do that.
I mean, maybe a little bit.
Now is this dieting, working out, or both? Or like how?
It's just diet.
Just dieting.
I'm gonna it's hard for me to do the exercise because I'm carrying too much weight.
Okay.
But as the weight comes off, it's easier for me. I literally was at the doctor. I was at an orthopedic doctor yesterday having my ankle checked out because my ankle is still fucked from a badminton injury about 5 weeks ago, and I'm going to be going to physical therapy to try and get it back into fighting shape.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, it's hard for me to do a lot of exercises.
I mean, looking at you in the monitor right now, I could easily see buff Gary Whitta.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming. I can see the future.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, what Marvel movie have they hired you for?
What's that?
So what Marvel movie have they hired you for?
You know, I would love that. Like, I should get Kamel to hook me up with his trainer so I could
do that
pose where I'm looking all buff.
Dude, I can't wait.
It's coming.
Are you cool with Kamel?
Yeah, I know him.
Dude, just hit him up. Just work out with him.
He doesn't do it anymore. He's too busy. But he used to have a gaming podcast with his wife Emily.
Yeah.
That he did together called The Indoor Kids, and I used to go on that.
Man, you guys are all cool. Everybody that works here is so cool, except for Kevin. Like,
no, Kevin's cool.
I'm just bummed that I haven't been invited to Gary Whitta's hot tub. You know?
I thought I had invited you.
Like Gary Whitta has a hot
well, the
tub.
Problem is, I've invited Andy and Tim because they're the most attractive ones, and they're the ones I would.
Okay.
You know,
that's a good point.
I would want them in my hot tub before anyone else.
That's a very good point. Very good point. Number one on the Roper Report, Microsoft's Xbox Series X will be able to resume games even after a reboot. This is by Tom Warren of The Verge. Microsoft revealed a number of new specs for its next-gen Xbox Series X game console earlier this week, but the company is dropping fresh hints about features today. In a new podcast, Microsoft's Larry Herb reveals that the new quick resume for multiple games will also let Xbox Series X owners resume games after the console has rebooted. Microsoft used a similar feature on the Xbox One to resume games, but Xbox Series X will resume multiple games from a suspended state, whether you're rebooting the console, switching games, or resuming from standby. Quote, I had to reboot because I had a system update, and then I went back to the game and went right back into it, reveals Herb on the podcast. He continues, so it survives a reboot. That will be useful for any dashboard updates that would usually interrupt any progress in a game, and it sets the stage for encouraging player habits of simply switching off a console and not worrying about save points. Now, this is where the article, I think, gets even more interesting. It doesn't lead with this, but I feel like this maybe should have been more noted, because this is where things get cool to me. Alongside this new detail, Microsoft's Director of Xbox Program Management, Jason Ronald, teases something called audio ray tracing. It's not a term that's typically used right now, but essentially it's spatial audio for immersion in Xbox Series X games. Quote, with the introduction of hardware accelerated ray tracing with the Xbox Series X, we're actually able to enable a whole new set of scenarios. Whether that's more realistic lighting, better reflections, we can even use it for things like spatial audio and have ray traced audio, explains Ronald. Microsoft is planning to dig deeper into the dedicated hardware acceleration for spatial audio on the Xbox Series X at the Game Developers Conference. We'll see about that. Next month, senior audio specialists at Microsoft are planning to hold a talk around how Microsoft is collaborating with game designers Dolby and others to take advantage of this hardware support. Gary Whitta, as the Xbox expert, or one of the Xbox experts.
Xbox correspondent, future co-host of the Xbox official Kind of Funny Xbox podcast with Snowbike Mike that will be coming to the Kind of Funny schedule
at some point soon. How do you feel about all this? How does this strike you?
I'm excited about Series X, and I really, really like what I'm hearing. So obviously, I'm sure you covered this on the show that yesterday or the day before, like when the tech specs dropped, all the teraflops and all that kind of stuff, all very impressive sounding.
Let's start there, actually, because we haven't heard your thoughts as, again, the Xbox expert in this office, right?
Expert.
the expert.
Enthusiast.
How did you feel about all the details that came out around smart delivery, around all the teraflops? How did that stuff strike you?
I think, teraflops are good. The more of them, the better. I'm glad that we're going to have 12 of them. That sounds pretty impressive.
12 sounds great. 12
sounds good. I think I put it into terms that I can understand. I think this is like 8 times more powerful than the current Xbox One. So that you can go, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But honestly, what excites me more are the quality of life improvements. Things like smart delivery, which I think sounds great. By the way, I think that really throws the gauntlet down to Sony.
Yeah.
So like take Cyberpunk as an example. The big news earlier this week was CD Projekt Red said, if you buy Cyberpunk 2077 for Xbox One this spring, when Series X comes out, you will automatically get a free you won't have to rebuy it.
Yes.
Now, if Sony don't, I think that's thrown down the gauntlet to Sony. If Sony don't match that and say, if you buy Cyberpunk or whatever game on PlayStation 4 when it comes out this spring, you will get a free update to PS5 when that version comes out, they're going to look bad. I feel like Sony have to match that, because that's a really compelling offer that Microsoft are making.
That's a whole conversation we had on PSLW XOXO, which we went down the whole rabbit hole, smart delivery and the implications on these different things. And it's the idea, in theory, is so simple, right? When enhanced versions of games come out on next gen, we will have access to both copies or both versions, right? Through smart delivery, through what Cyberpunk is doing right here, right?
Right.
Saying that you, once you buy the current gen version, you will have the next gen version free, right? When you look at the implications against what Sony might be doing or what Sony might not be doing, right, I think that's where things get really murky and really difficult and really kind of complicated, because, you know, I think the thing that really makes Xbox Series X and smart delivery and the idea of upgrading to new versions like a really compelling thing is the idea that you'll be getting a version of Cyberpunk 2077 that is enhanced for Xbox Series X, meaning that, you know, whether it is it runs better or it has ray tracing in there or it looks better or whatever it may be, right? There will be actual enhancements to the game because you're getting an Xbox Series X enhanced version. Whereas PlayStation 5, the way I feel like I've speculated what PS5 will do in terms of backwards compatibility is not necessarily upgrading the game, but you'll be able to play the PS4 game on your PS5, right? And whether or not you'll get that version free, like even if you do get the version free.
I mean, sure, backward compatibility is one thing, but what you really want is the full upgrade.
Yeah, and
that's what Microsoft's offering.
That's what Microsoft's offering, and that's the thing that I don't know if Sony is going to do.
I feel like they have to match it. If they don't, because that's a really, really great consumer-friendly move. It's something that consumers, I think, I've been looking at the blogs and the YouTube people are out there commentating on this, and people are really applauding Microsoft for this move. If Sony don't match this, I worry that it's going to look like the optics are going to be kind of the opposite as it was at the beginning of the last generation, when Microsoft originally rolled out all that bullshit DRM, and they initially made game sharing really hard, and it led to that famous video with Adam Boyce going, "Here's how you share games on the PS4 here," like, and everyone laughed. Like, if
it was really funny.
Now you're going to see the opposite of that if PlayStation don't match. If they don't have their version of smart delivery, I think.
Yeah, it's the reason why I don't have faith that Sony is going to have it is for Xbox, this has been a thing that they've kind of been building over the generation. And so for Xbox, like original Xbox games or Xbox 360 games, those games are enhanced for Xbox One.
Yeah.
Like those games are enhanced for Xbox One X, right? Playing Sonic Generations a couple weeks ago, right? Like that game had Xbox One X enhancements. And that's the thing that Xbox has been working on and improving and building on this entire generation. And that's the thing that PlayStation hasn't even like mentioned. Right, any sort of like automatic upscaling for current gen or next gen games.
I'm going to be, you know, Greg said the other day he just wants like Sony and Microsoft to put all their cards on the table. Like, and I agree. Like, we really want to see like what it is they're really offering, and we're going to see sooner than later. You know, they're going to have to do the full reveal very soon. Microsoft at E3, if E3 goes ahead, and Sony at its own event at some point in the near future. My feeling generally, though, is that in this kind of this technological arms race that we see every generation, it's becoming less now just about raw power, teraflops and GPUs and stuff like that. Yeah, you want the games to look as good as possible, but it's increasingly about what quality of life improvements can this technology get you. Smart delivery is a terrific quality of life improvement. Multiple suspend states on games, you can just jump straight back into the game, even if you had to reboot and update the console.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Like, one of the things that frustrates me the most right now, and I know that Sony is on this as well because they have shown this already, is there won't be like epic load times anymore. Like, my wife's playing Witcher 3 right now, really long load times.
Yep.
My kid loves to play The Sims 4 on Xbox, really long load times.
I'm playing Bloodborne right now, and every time you die, like, you have to load back in, and that's
the load times are too damn long. Like, one of the initial really, really big criticisms about Anthem was you spent more time waiting for the fucking game to load than you did playing it. This new solid state drives and the technology that both Sony and Microsoft will be employing in this next generation, the PlayStation 4 already does this pretty well. Like, even you turn off the PlayStation, put it in rest mode or whatever, come back and the game's just instantly there. Oh, how delightful. The game's just ready to play immediately.
Yeah.
The fact that will now become hopefully the standard across multiple games at once, like being able to just jump back and forth between multiple games that you've got on the go at any given time, I think that's wonderful. And I think that when we think about what next generation technology can offer us, we need to be, as Microsoft clearly are, need to be thinking not just about, well, how much better are the graphics going to be, but more about how does this make my experience as a player more frictionless and more enjoyable. I have to wait around less. I have to worry. I don't have to worry about upgrades anymore, rebuying a game. Yeah. I really think Sony has to match or have something as good as smart delivery, because otherwise, I think Microsoft could possibly start really closing the gap again in the next generation. Between smart delivery, everyone agrees Game Pass is like one of the best things in the industry right now. Sony don't have anything nearly as good.
Mm-hmm.
They got to start thinking more, less in terms of just a technological arms race and more in terms of just what console are you going to have the best time playing. And right now, Microsoft has played some very, very strong cards. I want to see what Sony's got.
Yeah, this week has been the first time where I've truly felt excited for next gen, because now...
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, now that Microsoft is speaking out loud about the ways in which the technology is actually going to affect the games and affect how you play the games, you know, like the idea of smart delivery and now, right, with Game Resume, which they talked about earlier in the week, but seeing that now I can restart my Xbox and, like, not have to worry about...
I love that.
You know, restarting, right? I still have
just less waiting around.
States. Yeah, less waiting around, less having to less having to worry about, like, okay, cool, I'm gonna have to get to the save state just in case there's an update or whatever.
It's little things that add up to a lot. I've said this before. You know, I know it sounds stupid, but I know there are people out there who agree with me. One of the things I'm most excited about in the next hardware generation is just USB-C on the controllers.
Yeah,
so I don't have to fuck around with that awful, awful micro USB plug anymore. I hate that stupid plug.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the Xbox Elite 2 controller that charges via USB-C, and it's a delight because that plug just slides in and out really, really easily. You don't have to fiddle around with that awful, awful micro USB, and that's something that will go away in the next generation as well. So little quality of life improvements across the board that add up to a lot.
So this is the first time I've heard about the term audio ray tracing.
And that does sound like a bullshit term.
It does, but in theory, right? I think the idea that, because, you know, ray tracing, as you know, we know it. As far as lighting goes, right? Realistic lighting, the way light dissipates in real life, right? That is then replicated in the game or simulated in the game. I feel like if you do that for sound, that could add such an actual deeper level, especially for like competitive multiplayer games, where if I am playing Call of Duty, right? Imagine I'm in the game and I hear footsteps from like around the corner, and the ways in which those footsteps echo around the room, like, makes me aware that, okay, no, these footsteps sound like they're coming around that corner.
Right.
Right? Like, that sounds off the chain.
I mean, and that can actually help you in gameplay. You know, back when I used to play...
Sirens are on our end.
back when I used to play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, mm-hmm. You know, you have to play with headphones because the spatial positional audio, like when a shot whistles by you, there's like a whole science to like figuring out where that shot came from based on how the positional audio plays out through your headphones.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it can help with gameplay. It can also just be immersive. I think many people don't appreciate just how much immersive spatial audio can add to a game experience because they don't, you know, having a really good positional sound setup, most people don't have that. That's like a high-end thing. One of the questions I have about this is, and which I hopefully they'll answer this soon, is this something that you would need like a high-end like surround sound setup or headphones to really appreciate, or would like my regular TV or a soundbar, like, because you can simulate this stuff.
Yeah.
You can like give the impression of like audio coming from behind you based on, you know, how the speakers kind of throw it around the room. I don't know if this is something that like anyone with just a TV or headphones. I mean, headphones are always, I think, the best way to do it.
Yeah, I feel like you would definitely need some kind of 3D audio headphones, like that sort of deal, in order to truly make this matter. But even like I played Hellblade with like very crappy headphones. Or they weren't very crappy. They're like $20 Sony, like those black headphones that are like over the ear.
Right.
And that still made that game, the ways in which they used, I think they call it binaural audio, the way in which they used that still felt cool.
Oh,
and
for
like
sure.
Dynamic in just those crappy headphones. And so I'm sure like having using audio ray tracing with like regular headphones will have some effect, but you probably need like 3D audio or some sort of like better surround sound system to really.
You're gonna see more and more of this, and like not everybody wants to hook up their living room with surround sound because it's a big hassle. But what, like, one piece of advice I would give gamers in general is, if you want to like level up your gaming experience, get a good set of headphones that can do positional audio because it really, really adds to the experience.
Yeah. I when I think of this, I think of games specifically like PUBG or Battle Royale games in general, where you can be helped out a lot by sound, right?
You notice it a lot in VR, where positional audio is a big part of the experience.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I think game types that have been coming out recently. So yeah, VR, Battle Royale, like those games can be helped out a lot with very good audio.
Yeah. And but so like horror games and things like that, that's a big part of the experience. Yeah. Like just for the immersion.
But yeah, I like the idea of, I love actually the idea of audio ray tracing. And I hope Sony has an answer to kind of all of this. I'm very much on the edge of my seat to see what more details we get from Sony and when we get them, because I feel like Microsoft is dominating the conversation a lot right now.
That's true, but Sony have yet to show their cards.
They
and they're going to have impressive cards. We know that the suspense state stuff, they already showed a demo of that some months ago. I think they showed Spider-Man load times on PlayStation
like
4
first,
and then running on PS5 hardware, like the load time was almost instant. So that's going to be nice. I think they'll probably also offer multiple suspense states. The smart delivery thing, though, is that's a big gauntlet, and I really think that if it comes down to this, that on Xbox, you buy a game like Cyberpunk and you'll get that free upgrade to a fully upgraded Series X edition when the next gen drops, and that's not something Sony can match. I don't know if that'll move the needle that much, but that's not going to be a good look for Sony.
Yeah.
They need to pony up and come up with something as good as that, I think.
Number two on the Roper Report. Dreams is looking to improve its trending tab to feature more original content. This is by Matt Kim of IGN. Dreams Media Molecule's newest game / creation tool has been hit with creatives looking to flex their game design prowess. But some say the discovery tool that's meant to highlight up-and-coming projects tend to favor viral content over original creation, something that Media Molecule says it's looking to address. Dreams is a tool that lets creators work within the Dreams games game engine and create all kinds of games, animations, and visual content. We've already seen wildly imaginative creations come out of Dreams already, and there's even a trending Dreams tab that's meant to highlight some of the most popular Dreams creations. But one critique of the trending system is how it places more weight on games based purely on plays and not necessarily likes. In practice, this floats remakes and memes up to the top over original creations that may not have gone viral. In one thread on the r/PS4 Dreams subreddit with over 1,200 upvotes, players are discussing ways this system can be improved. Quote, I understand that trending games are the most played games of the day, but what happens is that meme and superhero games that have 3,000 plays but only 100 likes are absolutely overshadowing great creations that have like 200 likes but only have, for example, 400 plays, end quote. Quote, feedback is a vital part of helping us shape and grow Dreams community, a Media Molecule spokesperson tells IGN when we reached out regarding these concerns. To continue, we started making the first changes to our recommendation and discovery algorithms in early access and plan on continuing that work to improve them as we go, end quote. Media Molecule specifically mentions the Reddit thread, saying, quote, the Reddit thread currently contains some good ideas, such as the likes versus plays ratio currently, and we are certainly giving them some careful consideration as part of this process, end quote. Gary, have you played Dreams yet?
No, but I'm very, very impressed by it and what I've, some of the creations I've seen coming out of it. I should get it. I really want to mess around with it. And even if I'm not interested in creating anything on my own, I want to see what other people are creating in it.
That's how I play Dreams. I haven't really created anything in Dreams yet. I've like messed around a little bit with the creation tools, but not enough to where I'm like, I'm going to create a whole game.
It's amazing to me how robust it seems to be. Like you really can create almost anything.
It's really awesome. And I think to this article and the Reddit threads and all this stuff, right, I kind of see where they're coming from. Because on this last episode of PSLW XOXO that we recorded this week, I kind of talked about some of the Dreams that I had been playing, and I highlighted two, and both of them were remakes, right? Like one of them was just Tetris. Like somebody made Tetris in Dreams, which is like a really cool, really impressive thing. And I mean, it was really awesome because then I can play free Tetris in Dreams. I guess free, quote unquote, because I had to buy Dreams, but still I can play Tetris in Dreams, right? And the other one was a remake of the Ghost of Tsushima trailer. And
right.
I think Greg brought up the question of like, yeah, you notice that like both of these things are remakes. And it is because these things go viral, right?
Yeah.
Like the Ghost of Tsushima.
Because they have built in recognition.
Yeah, built in recognition. When the Dreams Early Access first dropped, there were like PT remakes and
right.
What was the zombie space?
Dead Space.
Yeah, there was a Dead Space remake in Dreams. I played the first few hours of the first Dead Space. Actually, I played like a little bit of all the Dead Spaces. And every time I jump into them, I'm like, yo, these are terrifying. That's why I've never beaten them because they're so scary. But you know, like a lot of remakes and a lot of fan creations are getting the most and memes, right? Are getting the most highlight because
I can see that.
And so I understand the idea of, hey, let's figure out ways to highlight more original content.
Greg,
because original content is really great in Dreams.
Greg sent me a thing the other day. Somebody recreated the Darth Vader in the hallway.
Yeah, I saw that
sequence
too.
From
yeah.
the end of Rogue One,
and it's
which
like
is
so impressive.
And that's that's really cool to see. And I think that recreating things can be a great way to learn the tools and the techniques, but mm-hmm. I do agree that they should fiddle with their algorithm a little bit to try and favor original content more. Because that's I think, you know, if Media Molecule a year from now are looking at this and most of the stuff that's floating to the top is like memes and recreations of things and not like truly original ideas, I think they would consider that a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dreams is meant to be a tool to create new original things, not just recreate shit that we've seen before. So I do hope that people, anything they can do to encourage the creation of like truly original ideas, I think would be a good thing. I understand why people are attracted to the memes and the things that people recognize, and they're more likely to get clicks. And people go, "Oh, I know what that is. Let me see that in Dreams."
And I understand why
it's an easier sell.
I understand why those would be the first things that people would jump to create too,
right?
Because it's easier to recreate something, or it's easier to take inspiration from something than to create an original piece.
You just described Hollywood.
Yeah, like it's and that's often like the first stepping stone into creating something original is by like taking inspiration and, you know, trying to recreate or try, like for me when I started podcasting, right, like my first podcasts were just me, you know, looking at what Greg was doing and trying to imitate that,
right?
And then I was able to kind of, you know, find my own groove and start doing my own thing, right? And every creator, I feel like, starts from taking inspiration.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And then, you know, doing their own thing. And so I think that's why early on we're seeing a lot of recreations. That's how you learn how to use the tools. And like that's the stuff that gets viral, but I also think that stuff is necessary in the first few periods of the
game. So I'm glad that Media Molecule is aware of it. I hope that they fiddle with their metrics or their algorithm a little bit to try and create a better ecosystem for original ideas to float to the top. Again, I get it. It's a challenge. It really is like Hollywood. You know, remakes and sequels are popular because the studios know that people will go to see those things because they go, oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah.
I recognize that. I remember that. That's familiar to me. As opposed to having to sell a totally original idea, which can be a tougher sell.
Jamie S. writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Gary. Last night, IGN's Matt Kim reported that Media Molecule was looking into improvements for the trending tab in Dreams in order to better feature original content over flashy, viral remakes and memes. This is in response to a significant amount of critical feedback on the current system from the Dreams community, and in particular the subreddit, which feels that quality, original dreams with a high play to like ratio are being buried under dreams that receive a lot of plays but far fewer likes due to a clickbait title or theme. Blessing, as someone who has really dived into the content that Dreams has to offer, what do you feel Media Molecule should do in this situation? Is there a benefit in Dreams going viral so frequently with these flashy remakes, or is this hurting the long-term viability of the platform? Is it better for Media Molecule to focus on supporting the creators and players who are already invested, or should they be pushing viral content to catch the eyes of the uninitiated? Thanks. I think there's a balance to it, because I don't think you should not promote remakes, and like you should not promote like stuff that's taking inspiration from other stuff, right? I feel like that stuff is valuable to the platform. I feel like that stuff should, like, in the first year of Dreams, right, that stuff has already shown people how impressive Dreams can be, right? Seeing people recreate things. I think Media Molecule already is messing around with different ways to showcase cool dreams. Like they have their game jams in Dreams. They have different categories for different types of dreams, right? So even if like the main trending Dreams tab is a lot of remakes and stuff, there are like a bunch of other tabs in Dreams that you can look at and be like, oh, here's something original, right? Like that stuff is already being surfaced in a way by Media Molecule that allows us to actually see them. But yeah, I do think it'd be good to tweak the algorithm for the trending Dreams tab, right? Like,
and also I would say just don't leave it to the mercy of an algorithm. We see where algorithms get us. They serve up fucked up recommendations, you know, on YouTube and on Amazon and on and play. They like, why the fuck are you showing me this? I don't want any, because the algorithm is like reaching a conclusion that makes no sense. There's no substitute for manual human curation.
Yeah.
And Media Molecule have the power to do that. Have a little team of curators who are pushing the things that they like. You can do like trending Dream of the Day or Dream of the Week and manually push the original stuff.
Yeah, and that's my thing too, is they do that. Like they have a dream of or pick of the week kind of deal where they do
like a staff pick or whatever, like a bookstore. Yeah. Pick,
right. Yeah. And they have like the different categories and stuff. Like I think they're doing a good job of surfacing that stuff. I think the thing that people are complaining about mainly is that the trending Dreams tab is like the main algorithm decided one, and I think is at like the very top, and so maybe like moving that around, testing around, but it sucks because I also don't want it to be fully curated by Media Molecule, right? I would like ways for things to be naturally surfaced, right? Because I feel like that's how you get that allows us ourselves, right, as the users, as the players, to really dictate like what's
nothing wrong with having a section that is just, you know, driven by an algorithm, just by a chart. Yeah. Like, this is the thing that has the most plays, this is the thing that has the most likes, like it or not, this is what's popular in the community right now. By all means have that section, but also have a curated section where the Media Molecule team could say, this is stuff that we really think has merit and we want you to see. We have the power to put that in front of you, so we're going to do that.
Yeah, and I think that I have no doubts that they'll figure this out pretty quickly, because they've already been on that road. Like they've already been doing that. They already are really good about highlighting the things that they like. They even have a section that is like dreams that we've streamed on our live stream, right? Like they go pretty in depth as far as surfacing the good stuff. And so I have no doubts that they'll tweak whether it's they tweak the algorithm or mix around where how they surface the algorithm based stuff. Like they'll fix it. I'm pretty sure they will. Number three, Platinum Games is opening a new studio. This is by Michael McWherter of Polygon. Bayonetta and Nier Automata developer Platinum Games is growing. The developer has announced today that it has opened a new studio based in Tokyo that will develop live service games for consoles, a brand new endeavor for the company known best for its single player action games. Platinum Games has experimented with live service games in the past, but primarily on mobile platforms. The studio worked on two titles, Lost Order for Grand Blue publisher Cygames and World of Demons for DNA. That followed the live service model, but both appear to have been canceled. Executive Vice President and Studio Head Atsushi Inaba calls Platinum's Tokyo expansion, quote, a step towards a new challenge for us. Quote, so far, the name Platinum Games has been nearly synonymous with single-player action games, Inaba said on the Platinum Games website. But going forward, we're looking to expand into new genres and styles of play. One of these new challenges for us is console live ops game development. These aren't games we work on until they were done, and that's all. Rather, we continue working on them to provide new content long after release. We want to explore this ongoing development pattern in the home console space. Our new Tokyo office will play a major role as we expand into live ops game development. The starting core members of our future live ops team who will be working there are already part of Platinum Games. Now, Gary, have you played any Platinum Games? Are you a Platinum Games fan at all?
Bayonetta and Nier. You know, I have Nier on my PlayStation, and I
Nier Automata is great.
It's part of my backlog of shame.
Yeah, Nier Automata, like Astral Chain on Switch, you know, they developed
it. Oh, really good. They did that too?
Yeah, like Wonderful 101. I'm trying to think of more. Vanquish. No, there's a lot. Like Vanquish, Mad World. There's one that I played.
They make good games.
Oh, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance or whatever. Their games are primarily single-player action hack-and-slash games, right? And now they're opening a new studio that is going to be focused on live service games. I really like this, honestly. Like, I know, like, I feel like the immediate jump would be to think that this is, like, them kind of selling out a bit, which I kind of understand what that perspective would be because, like, it... I feel like live service games is so can easily be identified as them trying to be a money grab, right? Or, like, them trying to make money. And it obviously is, but I think for them, one, I want to see what that type of game looks like for them because I think, like, the idea of a Platinum game that is multiplayer, that is fast action, sounds like it could be fun. But then also, I think if them making this type of game helps them to keep their studio afloat because they're independent, I think that's an awesome thing. And so, I don't know, I think this is cool.
There's a lot of stigma out there right now attached to, you know, kind of the games as a service, live games, all that kind of stuff. And rightly so, because a lot of the games that are out there right now in that category are not good. You know, every week there's a new embarrassing story about Anthem or Fallout 76 or whatever. Even the games out there that are seen to be doing that genre better, like, you know, Destiny 2, Division 2, I think, you know, I still kind of just kind of scratching the surface of what is possible in a live. It's a, live games as a service, like a live persistent world game, not necessarily an MMO, but like a live service game. We're still kind of in the silent movie era of like figuring out what's possible in that genre. It's a whole new field of game design. What we're seeing in with the current generation, that's the first generation of games that are trying this out.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of trial and error, a lot of stuff that's not working. We'll get better at it. I really believe there's a ton of potential in the live service genre, not just as a money grab, but like creatively.
Yeah, making good games. I'm with that too.
And I think that we're gonna. I think we're gonna see that genre get better as game developers and designers learn how to get the best out of that genre. We're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Greg sat down at the hot mic.
I was gonna say, Greg Miller, do you have anything to say about?
I have breaking news.
Oh, breaking news,
ladies and gentlemen, from Ethan Gatch over at Kotaku. Microsoft drops out of GDC2.
GDC's done, dude.
I said by the end of day Friday this thing's canceled.
You were right. You had a bet that it was going to get canceled, right?
Anyway, sorry, Kotaku. Following the footsteps of several other major tech firms, including Sony and Facebook, Microsoft said today that it will no longer be attending this year's Game Developer Conference due to the growing health concern risks posed by coronavirus. Quote, after a close review of guidance by global health authorities and out of an abundance of caution, we've made the difficult decision to withdraw from participating in Game Developers Conference 2020 in San Francisco, Microsoft wrote on its GameStack blog. Instead, Microsoft will host live stream versions of the majority of its planned GDC panels, including panels covering its next generation Xbox Series X hardware, Project xCloud streaming, and game development sessions from its various Xbox Game Studios teams. The streams will be shown on its website from March 16th through the 18th, the first 3 days of GDC. In addition to its GDC panels, Microsoft has traditionally hosted a separate ID at Xbox event in San Francisco during the show, at which press are able to play and review indie games coming to Xbox, as well as interview developers. It has not been said whether this event will also be canceled and did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Kevin has coronavirus. He just sneezed.
It's not.
Yeah, stay the fuck away from me, Kevin.
It's on the air!
Is that the end of it?
There's more, but it seems like more context.
Is that going to be the tipping? At what point did the GDC, let's just not do it? At what point does that happen?
It's today or tomorrow.
So, to even add to that, right, number four on the Roper Report, the hits continue for GDC as Unity also pulls out. This comes from a blog post written by John Riccitiello, CEO of Unity Technologies, titled An Update on Our GDC 2020 Plans. He writes, GDC is always our favorite time of the year at Unity. It's a chance for us to connect with creators, customers, players, and partners from around the world. Unfortunately, this year, after much thought and deliberation, we have made the difficult decision to pull out of GDC 2020. While we did not make this decision lightly, the current conditions with COVID-19, also known as novel coronavirus, present too much risk. We take our players we take our employees' well-being very seriously. We do not want any Unity employee or partner to compromise their health and safety unnecessarily. We're advising all employees to refrain from traveling to GDC. We will no longer have a physical presence with a booth, but we'll instead showcase the great GDC content we've been working towards online. Expect more details in the coming weeks. The game developer conference has always done a fantastic job in uniting the games industry. We look forward to showing our support at next year's event. And so GDC is basically...
Unity is a big player as well.
Yeah. Like this year, I feel like
yeah, that's the thing. Who's big is going to be there?
Who's the biggest remaining name at GDC right now?
Great question. I don't have it off the top
kind
of my head.
Kind of funny.
Yeah. No, we're not, I mean, what? Like, we were going down to the Microsoft event. Are we going to that? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing is, like, GDC is such a different ball of wax than PAX. PAX is a consumer show. You know, you have people who are fans paying to go there to see the games, play the games, hopefully go. Here, GDC is networking and business and biz dev and pitching stuff. And can you take that online? Can you do that? For a lot of developers, no. Like, I mean, a lot of indies go there. A lot of smaller teams go there. But for the big companies, yeah, why would you go? It's about recruitment, but is that worth putting your people out online? And
yeah.
I'll take the CDC over GDC.
Hey!
You like that?
Christian Simmers on Twitter replied to your tweet that you tweeted earlier today. And I've not been to a GDC, and so I've not been totally cleared on like how it is compared to PAX. Yeah, I guess I'll be going.
It's not as shoulder to shoulder as PAX, but it's a lot of people in a confined area.
Yeah, and he responded to Greg's tweet saying I wouldn't be surprised if GDC is canceled by tomorrow, right? Chris says, this is bad for college students and other job seekers. For better or worse, GDC is literally the place in the U.S. where most game workers look for employment, portfolio advice, career coaching, and other networking opportunities. This will hurt the industry in many ways, not to mention the fact that it probably already costs many people the shirt on their backs just to attend the event as well, right? So, like, the effects that GDC is having for people who might not be familiar entirely with what GDC is more so on the industry as far as people who work in the industry. Like,
it's a massive networking event, and it sucks if it, you know, I take no pleasure in this story at all. I love GDC, and if it gets canceled, that's going to be a real, real bummer. But I also totally understand it. Personally, I'm very bearish on coronavirus. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
You know, we have a bunch of fucking incompetents at the top of running the show right now that I have no faith in at all.
Mike Pence being our thought leader on this isn't inspiring you with
confidence? Don't fucking get me started. let's not go down the political road, but yeah, I mean, we have a bunch of fucking chumps who are supposed to be. We have a president who can't even fucking spell, literally can't spell coronavirus, who's in charge of this, and I'm very, very nervous about it. I literally asked the principal of my kid's school yesterday, "What's going on? What plans do you have to, like, you know, close schools if kids start sneezing and coughing and stuff like that?" I've got a 7-year-old kid. I'm not gonna fuck around with this. Yeah. I would not go to GDC. PAX is. I love PAX. I would not go to PAX East this weekend. No, fuck no. These places are petri dishes.
Yeah.
There was a story. There's a good chance they might have to cancel the Olympics. And that would be terrible. But I would fucking understand
it. That wouldn't surprise me.
I would understand it.
Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, Blessed and Gary, and I guess now Greg. Another day and another company is pulling out of GDC due to coronavirus. This time, it's Unity, the engine provider. As news of the virus spreads and gets in people's ears, do you think it will have a long-term effect on the games industry? We don't quite know when next gen will come out, but with coronavirus already taking China out of work, do you anticipate that we will see a delay in next gen into December release dates? With companies canceling on GDC and PAX East, do you think that E3 may catch a break by having companies pulling out of their show due to scares of the virus, and they can blame their dumpster fire failures on that. I see what they're saying. Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. How do you guys feel like this might affect the industry long term?
It's too early to say, isn't it? Who the fuck knows?
In terms of a lineup, in terms of like games coming out and stuff?
Like in terms of like next gen and also like E3, let's say that.
In terms of next gen and like making your game and making this only benefits you. Stay at home, stay in the office,
I know this is a games show, but I feel like it's lame to even be talking about this. Like, this is a fucking potential public health catastrophe. And anytime Trump or fucking Larry Kudlow goes on TV talking about the stock market, I want to smash my fucking TV. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what you should be worried about right now. We should not be worried about whether or not a fucking Series X is going to be a bit late. We should be worried about fucking keeping people safe, because there's a potential here for a lot of fucking people to die. And we should be more concerned about You know, practicing good health, washing your hands, fucking not going to fucking major nexuses and petri dishes for contamination like conventions. This makes total sense to me. I need to have a conversation with you, Kevin, and you, Greg, and also Nick, Andy, and Tim. The latest advice out of the CDC is shave your fucking beard.
That's if you're going to wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask.
Well, maybe you should be wearing it. You know, listen.
I think
all of you, everyone with it, but you know, it's the thing.
Why are you laughing?
Listen, I'm telling you, coronavirus has
doesn't surprise me.
Coronavirus has the potential to totally devastate the YouTube video game vlog hot take community because it's all a bunch of fucking dudes with beards. I mean, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing.
Oh yeah, the games industry is going to be. It's gonna be ours.
It's going to be. We're going to own.
It's going to
be an apocalypse. It's going to be you and me, like, yeah. The beardless ones. We're going to inherit the earth.
I think in solidarity, you guys should grow your beards out.
No, I think that you, to raise awareness of coronavirus and good health
and hygiene, you should all
shave your beards on stream.
I'm down for that.
I don't give in to terrorists. Also, this coronavirus thinks it can make me change my ways. No.
I know that Greg is here.
Like it or not.
You went from being serious to like this fucking tangent.
I'm being totally serious. Like it or not, as a beard is a valid aesthetic choice if that's the road you want to go down. But don't tell me that a beard is hygienic because it's fucking not. It's just empirically true that a beard is not hygienic.
The thing is, though, they're hot. The article. Just saw the images.
What's the article say?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read it.
Now, what's the word with the Japan trip now that Greg is here, though?
Wow.
I was originally coming in to tell you I'm getting ready to book the tickets, but
this is such a great get out of jail free card for Japan trip.
I love you too much, Bust. You're too important to the company to send to Japan.
I'm willing to take the risk.
Nah, I won't let you do it. I'm sorry, because you can sue us for negligence if you went there.
It won't be an issue in like...
You know what? I hear Nick calling me. I got to go.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Number 5 on the Roper Report. Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope gets first details and release window. This is by Wesley LeBlanc of IGN. First, before we get into this, Gary, are you familiar with, like, the Dark Pictures and Man of Medan and all this stuff?
No.
Okay. So, to preface, right, Supermassive Games, the developers of Until Dawn, they put out Man of Medan.
Oh, no. So, I'm familiar with Man of Medan. Yeah.
So, Man of Medan is part of the Dark Pictures Anthology. Which is, like, they're, like, Black Mirror kind of thing, where it is, like, every single game is, like, a new kind of weird take on horror.
Got it.
Right? Part of the same series. No? It's not. You're not into it, Kevin?
No, thank you.
I don't like horror games either.
Really? Not even Until Dawn?
I won't play them.
Until Dawn is, like, not scary, though.
No, like, a slasher thing like that is okay, but I can't play the really, Outlast. I can't play that.
The Dark Pictures are more slashery than, like, actual, like, Outlast.
I told you, Fatal Frame 2 was on the PlayStation 2. That was the last horror game I ever played. I'm never playing one of these again.
I told you about that, where, like, that was the one where, like, the box, I was like, mm-mm.
I tried playing PT. I noped out after, like, 5 minutes.
Okay, well, that one I understand. PT is terrifying. The article reads, details of Supermassive's game's next game in the Dark Pictures anthology, Little Hope, has been revealed alongside a release window. The first Dark Pictures anthology game, Man of Medan, came out in August last year, and players that made it to the end were treated to a small teaser of Little Hope. That teaser ended with the release year of 2020, and that was the last we've heard of That was the last we heard of this next game in the Anthology series. Supermassive Games has now released more info about the upcoming title, and it seems players can expect to traverse an abandoned town this summer. Quote, trapped and isolated in the abandoned town of Little Hope, 4 college students and their professor must escape the nightmarish visions that relentlessly pursue them through an impenetrable fog, end quote. Supermassive Games CEO Pete Samuels said in an update. As they journey through the town looking for a means of escape, you must understand the meaning of these events, the root of evil, and how it's directly connected to them, end quote.
As you can see in the trailer,
legit, like, I'm excited for it, even though Man of Medan kind of disappointed me.
Oh, there's a trailer.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a new trailer or this was the trailer that was in the Man of Medan game.
Can we pull it?
I don't have a link. You might have to search it.
I mean, try Little Hope trailer and see what happens.
Little Hope trailer and see if it's come out in the last, like, day.
Yeah.
I got it, guys. Yeah.
Okay. Kevin's on the case.
As you can see in the trailer, Little Hope appears to lean more toward Until Dawn than it does Man of Medan, which excites me because Until Dawn, great. Man of Medan, not so great. Little Hope will launch summer 2020 as the second entry in the Dark Pictures
anthology.
He's got it. Which Supermassive Games describes as a series of, quote, intense, standalone, branching, cinematic horror games that combine atmospheric environments with powerful storytelling to create a terrifying new gaming experience. Kevin, pull up Little Hope.
These trailers are like 5 months old. Okay, so is this really news?
I, no, I think this is the trailer from the End of Man of Medan game.
You've got it muted, Kevin.
These are just details that are coming out of the blog post, but I don't think there's actually a new trailer. But if you want to see how Little Hope looks, right?
Actually, yeah, because this is the first I've heard of it, so I just want to take a quick look. Okay,
very good. So if you liked Until Dawn, this could be very up your alley. But I played Man of Medan.
You didn't like Man of Medan?
No. It was all right. Like, Until Dawn for me was like a solid 8.5, like, great game.
This does look more Until Dawn-y.
Man of Medan was like more of like the 6.5 in. Okay. Like, it just was a step down from Until Dawn in every way, but it was fine for what it was. The hook about these games is that they're multiplayer, right?
Right.
So this game is also going to be multiplayer. You get to do co-op.
Cool.
And you're essentially like, you're controlling a character, your co-op partner is controlling a character, and you guys are making choices separately, and that affects how the story plays out.
Yeah.
So it's a fun experience. Those are your details of the Dark Pictures Anthology, Little Hope.
I like it.
Number six on the Roper Report, Annapurna reveals a new game. This is from their Twitter. They tweet, and Kevin, there's a trailer for this that I do want you to pull up also. They tweet, introducing Maquette. From Graceful DK. Maquette is a first-person recursive puzzle game that takes you into a world where every building, plant, and object are simultaneously tiny and staggeringly huge, coming soon to PC. And I was debating whether or not to include this in the Roper Report, because like a lot of games get announced all the time. But
4 hours ago. This is new. Let's check it out.
Yeah, so this is new. The thing about this one is I included it because, one, it's Annapurna, and Annapurna puts out banger
after. I like what Annapurna is doing in the game space.
And then also I watched the trailer, and it's great.
All right, let's check it out. Okay.
You're just staring at your sketchbook.
Oh, God.
Where's
that's
the remote
embarrassing.
For the TV?
Is this some kind of castle thing?
I don't know. I haven't drawn in a long time. I used to draw all the time.
Me too. I'm Kenzie.
I'm Michael.
You should start a drawing club.
So yeah, it's first person.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
They're,
why are you talking to me anyway?
Picking up things, right? It's okay. Like this,
Bored.
Toy set looking thing.
I'm waiting for my coffee and I'm flirting.
They're looking around with it. They drop it, right? They drop a big cube into the toy set. They look to the side. The cube's huge.
Oh.
So they are. The game takes place in that toy set that you are interacting with. And so you're like affecting.
So you're playing with like perspective and.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Annapurna, great. They do great work. Like all their games that they put out, you know, like. Everyone I've played,
I feel like there was another game that I saw on PlayStation recently that had a similar gimmick.
You're thinking of... No, I know exactly the game you're thinking of. Super something. It's like Super Liminal.
Yes.
Yes. I played
similar
that game at
gimmick.
PAX. Yeah, similar gimmick. And I really liked what I played of that game at PAX.
I like it.
Yeah, looks cool. But Gary, Maquette, as we know... Or as we might understand it to be, it's so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday. And hey, I'm not here on a Wednesday. It actually looks like it's a good release day.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff. I mean, I don't know about quality, but quantity.
Yeah.
Get into it.
Before we get into out today... We are brought to you by some sponsors. I got to read that because we're late in the show. We're brought to you by The Besties. Hey, listeners, we know you love all things video games, so we want to tell you about a Spotify original podcast called The Besties. Every Friday, the creators of The Adventure Zone, Justin Griffin McElroy, are joined by their two best friends and hardened video game reporters, Russ Freshtick and Chris Plant, to go deep on a single new video game. If you've been a fan of Polygon, you'll know these guys. They co-founded it. Plus, The Besties cover all the major moments in video games in 2020, from new console launches to Cyberpunk 2077 and beyond, and probably coronavirus. And at the end of the year, they do a complete showdown pitting all the top games of the year against one another to get the top game of the year. It's pretty epic. But The Besties can't do it without their fans, who write in each week with all sorts of goofy suggestions. It's like a book club for video games. I love Griffin McElroy. I love Justin McElroy. I think they make great podcasts, and so The Besties... I'm going to say it is one that you should definitely check out. You can find The Besties on Spotify, which also has your favorite podcasts, including this one, and music all for free. Listen to The Besties free only on Spotify. Next, we're brought to you by The Gaming Ride Home Podcast. I want to tell you about a great new podcast, The Gaming Ride Home Podcast. It's a video game. It's video game news, all the headlines, rumors, reviews, hardware leaks, release date confirmations, and more, all delivered to you every day at 5 p.m., perfect for your commute home. The show is hosted by former Game Informer and IGN writer Kyle Hilliard, and it's only 15 to 20 minutes long. It's like Too Long Didn't Read as a service. Kyle is online all day, reading all the tweets, reading all the rumor blogs, consolidating all the chatter around the world, the entire world of gaming, so that he can catch you up on everything that happened while you were living your busy life. This is the latest show from the Ride Home Podcast Network, the daily news podcast, folks, celebrating 2 years and 25 million downloads. Search your podcast app right now and subscribe to Gaming Ride Home. Out today, we got Soul Axiom on Switch, Overpass on PC, Heaven Dust on Switch and PC, Under Hero on Switch, which I played for PS Love You XOXO a few weeks ago, but it got delayed on Switch, so now it's out today. It was cool. It was all right. Hero Must Die, again, on Switch. Mousecraft on Switch. Voxelgram on Switch. Kingdom Rush Frontiers on Switch. Animated Jigsaw Collection on Switch. Dual Brain Volume 3 Shapes on Switch. Wanderlust Travel Stories on Switch. Boulder Dash 30th Anniversary on Switch, Served on Switch, Diadra Empty on PS4, MX Nitro Ultimate Edition on PS4, which I almost played for PS I Love You, but I decided against it, sadly. Dominance on PC, Beach Buggy Racing 2 on PC, Devastated on PC, Warmth on PC, Ironheart on PC and Mac, Barbaris Tavern of Ymir PC and Mac, Snailians PC, Iris and the Giant PC and Mac, Battle Sloths for Switch with Kevin, which Kevin, I sent a trailer in the KFGD Slack channel. I want to watch the trailer for that. And then the Wreckfest February update is now out on all platforms. New dates for you, we have Those Who Remain has a May 15th, 2020 release date for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam versions of their Supernatural Adventure Thriller. Nintendo Switch Edition is also in development and will be coming summer 2020. Kevin, you brought up Battle Sloths, correct? Cool. Go ahead and let it play. Gary, this thing is awesome.
What am I looking at here?
I found this trailer on Twitter for a game that's out today, right? Battle Sloths. Look at this. So it's like a live action thing.
Uh-huh.
A sloth arms reaching outside the TV.
Right.
It's inviting the mom that's in the room or the lady that's in the room to come in. And there's like, it's just like a random 2D game. But I love the energy of the trailer so much.
I'm a little bit burned out on the whole 80s retro thing, but this, I guess, is cool.
Don't lie to us. You don't like it. And that's okay.
It's okay.
Just say you don't like it.
Listen.
I feel like I've seen that fake VHS effect like a million times now.
Mm.
I get it.
Look, I'm really sorry Blessing didn't bring something cool to the table, okay? I'm really sorry.
Listen, you can be real with me.
He had all these issues with the printer. I'm sorry. He's trying his hardest.
Now it's time for reader mail. You can write it to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get your questions read on the show. Just like Fatality89, who writes in and says, "Hello, KFGD crew. With live streaming and content creation becoming more and more popular, how do you suspect that Xbox and PlayStation will expand on the share features built into each console? Which features would you like to see? Custom overlays, alerts, etc. Cheers, Fatality89.
Wait, did you read the releases?
Yeah, I did.
You were on your phone.
I must have been totally tuned out.
I wanted to say something, but... You seemed so...
You're very into whatever you're doing.
Yeah. I looked at the list. There's nothing here that I'm excited... You know...
There's some puzzle games on there that look fun.
Yeah, nothing's jumping
fine,
out
Gary,
at me.
No one's upset at you.
It's okay. We're here for you.
Yeah, nothing there for me.
But yeah, share features in game. First of all, how do you feel about the share button on the PS4?
I never touch it.
Really?
Sometimes accidentally, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I hate it.
I don't love it.
Do you have any requests for next gen as far as like share features go?
Not really. I'm not big on that. You know, sometimes it's nice to be able to capture a screenshot or something, and I like that you can. It's not. Yeah, once you hook up your Twitter account or whatever, you can just instantly share something. It's great. I never use it. I mean, I understand there's a lot of people out there for whom, you know, there's a whole generation now that's grown up. Like, if you don't share it on social media, it never really happened.
Uh-huh.
So I understand how that's like part of the DNA of like the younger generation. For me, I don't give a shit.
I've never been into the share button specifically on the PS4. Like, I think it's a cool idea. It's like at the time, I think it was like a forward-looking idea.
Very forward-looking.
Yeah, but now that we're here, I feel like we're at like peak shareability right now in terms of internet.
I see Greg use it all the time, and like it works for him.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that share button and that share feature, now that we're coming to the end of the generation, ended up getting used less than Sony probably thought it would?
100%.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think so.
I feel like...
Because like how many times have you done something cool in like a game and been like,
I've used that share button a lot.
You're gonna put a dedicated button, a dedicated physical button on the controller that says share.
That's my.
You're
thing,
imagining that's gonna be a big part of the experience, and I don't think it is for a lot of people.
I've shared stuff a lot, but not enough that it justifies a whole button on a controller for
sure,
it.
Sure.
Like you can assign that functionality to like the PlayStation button or like the center button somehow, right? Like double tap the center button. Okay, that's the share button.
Right.
Right. Like I feel like that would go a long way instead of creating a whole button just to share.
Do you think it will be on the PS5 controller?
Yes, I think it will.
I think so too.
I think the PS5 controller will probably just be the PS4 controller again with probably like minor adjustments to make it easier to hold.
I mean, when they nailed it, you know? Why change something that's good?
But like, I feel like the best controller out there is the Xbox controller.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it doesn't waste space. It doesn't waste time. It's easy to hold.
Again,
it feels perfect in your hands.
I always hesitate to say best. It's my favorite. It's my preference. Some people, there are plenty of people out there that love the DualShock much more. You know, it depends on the shape of your hand.
I prefer the sticks.
Some people like offset sticks. Some people don't. One of the reasons why I prefer the Xbox is I prefer, personally, the Xbox controller. Lots of people prefer the DualShock. I do agree that both the Xbox One controller and the DualShock controller have now reached a point where they are pretty perfect.
Yeah.
And it's just down to like each iteration is just a tiny tweak here and there.
Yeah. As far as share features in general, right, just outside the button, I think more customability as far as people who like to stream directly from their Xbox or directly from their console to Twitch or to Mixer or whatever it is, right? Like, I think being able to customize your overlay more, being able to have more features, making that more robust can go a long way now that I feel like everybody would like to be a Twitch streamer, right? And whenever you go to somebody's profile and it is like that PS4 default stream thing,
right?
It's like, okay, well, they're not a real streamer. Like, you kind of have that reaction. But I feel like, you know, allowing people to customize more and you know, have more originality to how they present themselves on PS5, let's say, right, in that overlay can go a long way to allowing people to have accessibility to streaming, but also not feel like they're being judged because they have, like, the default PS4 layout.
That back button attachment that Sony just released for the DualShock 4, do you think there's a chance that could just be baked into the DualShock 5?
Yes.
Okay.
I think them releasing that now, like the back button attachment, tells me that there are going to be certain functionalities on the PS5 that is accounting for. And whether or not that is like back buttons, like a similar kind of back button, or just like some sort of, I don't know, man, button on the side of it, probably not. But like some sort of other buttons that thing is accounting for, I think that, yes, there will be some kind of extra functionality on the PS5 that back button kind of points to. Whether or not it is a back button, I don't know, though.
I feel like, since we're talking about things on the DualShock 4 that were underused, maybe I'm wrong. I feel like the touchpad ended up being not that big a deal either. Didn't it just turn into, like, another big button that you can press?
Yeah.
Like, drawing on it and make... That never really became a thing, did
that's
it?
That's the conversation that me and Greg had on PS I Love You, because we were talking about how... we were talking about functionality, because last week, or was it earlier this week, recently... PlayStation had a patent that was controllers that could detect if you're
sweating. The biofeedback thing?
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, that thing's not going to make it to the actual production.
No.
Because like, if that got used, it would be used for maybe one or two games at most, right? Like, that doesn't have wide functionality. In a way that the touchpad, I feel like at the end of the day, isn't the biggest success, because really only first-party games and a few third-party games used it. Like, not enough games actually used the touchpad.
It got used a lot when the PlayStation 4 first came out, because Sony was saying, like, use it. We want people to see you can use it.
Yeah.
But, like, when I play games that have it now, it's usually just a big rectangular button that brings up the map or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's not special.
The reason for that is, if you're a third-party developer, right, say you're Ubisoft, you're making Assassin's Creed, and you want to...
The Xbox doesn't have it.
So why would you add functionality for the PS4 that is going to just make more work for you when all the same buttons are there, you can just forget that the touchpad swiping stuff really exists, right? And like, people don't necessarily... Like, I feel like the touchpad, as far as how it works, doesn't feel super accurate when it does come into play. Like, I feel like there's a delay there when you do start swiping things that makes it kind of frustrating. I think the best functionality I've seen for it has been games like The Witcher, where it is you swipe up and that brings up your map, or you swipe down and that brings up, like, I don't know, like your upgrade menu, or like they're like quick quick buttons to use, right? I think that's the smartest functionality for that stuff, and I'd like to see more developers use.
But I think
that.
Sony originally had like higher aspirations for it than ended up being reality.
Yeah, and so like I can see maybe PS5 has either an improved version of it that feels more snappy, that gives people more justification to use it, or I don't think they can get rid of it. It's the sucky thing because of the backwards compatibility. Like I feel like people will want to play PS4 games, like every PS4 game on PS5, and so you can't just get rid of it. And so that presents the issue that it's going to have to stay, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the bummer about it.
Yeah.
Alexis writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, with all the talk of smart delivery and the likelihood of only one copy of a game being sold, with the system determining what version to load, do you expect all versions to be to be on the disc itself, comparing these to just downloading the Xbox One X patch? What happens to players who don't have their system connected to the internet? Are we unknowingly returning to the Microsoft's original always online Xbox? Gary, you're the Xbox expert.
Xbox enthusiast.
Xbox enthusiast.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. I think Microsoft has intimated that you'll be able to, there'll just be one box that says like Xbox or whatever. Xbox One, Xbox One X, Series X, and you pick it up, and whatever version of whichever console you put that one disc into, that's the version that you get. Now, whether or not that means every version is on the disc, or it will, you'll have to download some kind of patch or whatever, I don't know. You know, I think that the question of like what happens to players who don't have their systems connected to the internet is becoming less and less relevant because most people do at this point. Like, it's hard for me to imagine you having an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4 that isn't in any way connected to the internet and being able to do much of anything already. Like, that's been the reality for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people don't have, you know, I'm very lucky, I have great internet, but many people don't. And, you know, just day one patches and things like that, you know, 50, 60 gigabyte patches. Those are a huge issue for people with slower internet connections, with data caps, things like that. If you're, I mean, I'm very lucky, I don't have a data cap, but many, many people do because internet providers are fucking evil. And if you've got like a terabyte data cap or whatever, and, you know, you're doing a lot of streaming stuff like that, if I'm looking at, I would hate to have to be, as many people do, like, oh, 60, oh, fuck, I've got to do the math. Like, do I how much is that in my data cap? Is like, what's going on? It would be really, really annoying for me. But look, you know, 5G, things, it's going to get better. We already live in an already connected world. Again, I feel like the what happens to players who don't have their systems connected to the internet, like, that's a problem that we've had for a long time now. I don't think this is going to necessarily make it any worse.
Yeah, it's stuff like that, like this, that makes me believe that the ways in which Microsoft are going to have to communicate this is going to be complicated, because I'm not sold on the idea that there's going to be one disc for Cyberpunk, right? I think there is going to be an Xbox One disc and an Xbox Series X disc.
Okay.
With the idea that, like, because if there's only one disc, right, you're going to have to make the disc.
But here's the thing. You have a disc for the regular version.
Well, the thing is,
then it downloads the other stuff as a patch.
Yeah. Do they want to do that, though, is the question.
Going down the road,
why not?
Who knows? But like for right now, for like Cyberpunk, for example, which is the big game everyone's talking about for smart delivery at the moment, because CD Projekt Red made that announcement, they're going to have to be separate because those releases are months apart.
They're months apart, but also like there are separate versions of the game, right? Like, The Xbox Series X version of Cyberpunk is going to be an enhanced version. And now I guess the question is, like, do they just go... And I guess technically they could do one disc and make that a key, and then that then allows you to just download whatever digital version of Cyberpunk, or download a patch that then adds all the enhancements.
I mean, you have to download a patch for almost everything day one anyway.
What
difference
does it make? This would be such a big patch to download.
Who knows how big it'll be.
I mean, it, like, also, like, there are huge patches all the time.
Kevin's right, we already live in a world of 50, 60 gigabyte day one patches.
So much.
Do we hate it?
I'm fine with it, but I got great Call of Duty automatically.
Yeah, I got gig up, gig down. I don't give a shit.
Whoa, you Sonicing?
Fucking right.
All right.
But like, I live in a house that has.
I'm all right, Jack. Pull the ladder up.
I feel like most people live in a.
I don't care.
Most people in this country live in a situation where there are data caps, right? And like, you know, Call of Duty randomly put out a patch recently that had, like, I think it was, like, 61 gigs or, like, maybe up to 80 gigs worth of patch content. And it just automatically downloaded. I'm like,
look,
dude,
I've said it before. I'll say it again. At one point, we had to pay per text that we sent out.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
I used to have to pay. But we're not there yet.
Back in the days of the first bulletin boards, and I had, like, a fucking 14.4 modem. Mm. I was paying by the minute that I was connected on That's the phone wild. Line. It was That's fucking wild. Outrageous.
Yeah, the more these things become a necessity, the more the market has to react to them.
Yeah, but are video games going to make it a necessity? Is the thing like because I feel like video games
wide use of internet is going to make it a necessity. Like the fact that everyone's streaming like 4K now,
cloud gaming, yeah. But like cloud all gaming. Of this stuff is gonna force the issue.
Pushing limits. There's gonna video be games some specifically ugly time.
Is like the big. Is like the big stressor of this stuff, though, right? And like, is video games enough?
But I mean, to you say that, but you don't think about how much bandwidth you're using when you're streaming a 4K yeah. video.
But it's not as much as I'm using when I'm.
You do
a
if
4K
you have a data
game.
Cap.
If I'm but I mean, if you that's you downloading it. So like, that's one thing that happens mm-hmm. if you're marathoning a show that's in 4K, which so many shows are now. That's like 12 megabits a second for a consistent. 8 hours. You think about that?
Yeah, but still, like, I feel like that? Video games are still a bigger stressor, though. You know, when it comes to streaming games, when it comes to downloading,
I don't know.
Like,
I feel like you watch a lot of TV. You know what I mean?
I watch a lot of TV, and it doesn't. I don't. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna check my data. I'm curious now.
I had a 1 terabyte a month data cap back when I was with Comcast.
Yeah, I want to look at it, Kevin, because you have access to my data cap.
I do.
I want to see what the usage is.
You got to get on that Sonic, man. No data caps.
Because I'm going to bet you is video games taking up most of whatever that usage is. To continue, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. That's where you can write in and tell us the things that we've got wrong as we've done the show live. Of course, you can access that, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. I am scrolling through, and apparently we got a whole bunch of stuff wrong because there's a lot of writers.
Surely not.
You know, these people got opinions. That's what it is.
Everyone's got an opinion.
All right, that's an opinion.
Except for Marvin.
That's not a you're wrong. That's not a you're wrong. Come on, guys. You're making this difficult.
I say punish them. Just end the show.
Oh, here we go. Borson00 writes in and says, the PlayStation 5 also has this audio ray tracing as stated in the first Wired article. That's a you're wrong, because I'm pretty sure I got that wrong.
How do we know that? Because Sony have said so little about what...
They stated it on their article.
Did they? Okay.
People are saying that Cyberpunk 2077 comes out this fall, not this spring. I don't remember making that mistake, but yeah, it comes out.
Oh, because they pushed it, right.
Yeah, they pushed it.
You know, the Eero isn't giving me too much information.
People have been saying that audio ray tracing has been around for
it's
a while.
It's a good thing they pushed it because, you know, Animal Crossing and everything. Like, I would hate Cyberpunk to fall victim to that.
People are saying that audio ray tracing has been around for a while. I'm not saying it's not been around for a while. I'm saying this is the first I've heard of it.
The Xbox One that is connected to my sister's Wi-Fi is number 5 on the
Okay,
the
that's
most
my Xbox
amount
One.
Of stuff Bandwidth, that it uses.
Yeah, usage. Yeah. What's number what are like the top?
I don't know.
Like, is there anything that's related to me?
I don't think. I mean, I don't know.
Cuz how's the Xbox One?
There's something that I can't figure out what it is. Maybe it's just
It might be my PS4. Cuz my PS4 definitely has
no,
to take
No, it's got
more
a
bandwidth.
Weird name though.
Okay.
You got a weird laptop?
Maybe.
Galaxy Note 5 is number 2, which
that's
could
not
be
me.
My sister's or
Number 2? Okay, maybe you're right, Kevin.
See what I'm talking about, man?
What are they doing on their phone that takes up that much bandwidth?
Watching shit, man.
On their phone?
That's what it looks like.
Okay, breaking news, Microsoft. Okay, so a lot of people are talking about Microsoft. Not in my mouth, writes in and says, Hyper Jumper is out today on Switch.
Not in my mouth!
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
So many games. Okay, people, stop joking around with kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Okay, well, so many games is...
No, punish them. Punish them!
No, okay, I guess this is a real one. So
right,
many
what do you
games
got? What do
coming to Switch Day. It's a game called So Many Games, which I read that originally and thought somebody was trying to punk me, but I guess...
Can't be punked.
There's a game called So Many Games?
I'm going to look this up because I want to make sure I'm not being punked.
Nah, they'd never punk you. Good kids.
They definitely would punk me.
They're good kids out there.
This is what happens, Kevin, because we're not wrong. We're right all the time.
Yeah, so they have
people
to
they just get front. They want to troll us instead because they can't catch us out.
God, I hate them.
Okay, well, I can't find it, so I think somebody's punking me. I think somebody made multiple profiles to write that in.
You want me to block them?
Yes, block them.
Okay,
block them.
Fucking A. Drop that ban hammer.
Tomorrow's hosts, Greg and me. Greg hosting me in the passenger seat is gonna be a fun old time. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.